Pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would quicken these words that I speak and give them your spirit so that they might touch our lives in the appropriate places. And I pray also that you put the mantle on and remove the insulation. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at the game of life. This is the third in this series. The first one was about what really matters in life. And the second one was about keeping how we keep score in life and how God keeps score. Now, today I want to talk to you about the inner game, the one that's on the inside of us. Every game is composed of two parts, an outer game and an inner game. This is true from poker to golf. This is true from board games and card games and physical games like basketball. The outer game is played against an external opponent to overcome external obstacles and to reach an external goal. This is also true about the game of life that every one of us is playing right now. In the game of life, the external opponent is the world or life circumstances or situations or people that we live with and encounter on a daily basis. The internal game is how we navigate this life as we play the game of life. To master the outer game in sports, we must learn to swing a racket or a golf club or a bat or have other skills. In the game of life, we must learn skills as well using either our intellect or our physical abilities or both. Every profession or job requires learning techniques and skills and the rules that govern those particular jobs or professions. From being a doctor to a firefighter or being a mother or a father, that's the outer game. The outer game is what people see and what gets admired or disdained or ignored. This is true in sports as well as in the game of life, of which we are all committed to playing, and you're in it right now. Even today, as I deliver this message, I am applying skills and techniques and abilities in the game of my life, and the part that I am playing in the game of life of you today in particular. So we're going to see how this plays. This is the outer game. But there's another more important game going on in the mind of the player. It is played against things like fears and doubts, nervousness, anxiety, confusion, or maybe self-condemnation. It's also a game that is played when we are hurt or we have been hit hard by something in this life. The same way we see players in sports like football, when they get hit hard and they play hurt. Sometimes we just play hurt in the game of life. The inner game requires the determination of our wills and the focus of our minds. The inner game is where we see the bigger picture about what really matters, and then how do we score in this game of life for ourselves. Now, this is true of sports, but it's also true in the game of life. This inner game is played between the ears. Let me say that again. The inner game is played between the ears. Victories in our inner lives are the source of true joy and fulfillment and personal growth as people, and it doesn't matter what game it is. It could be golf or it could be life. Mastering the inner game is the highest reason that we play the game. In the game of life, living a life that is fulfilling and eternally significant is mastering that inner game, and that is the part of the game that we play between our ears. It's the inner game that will master the outer game of life. Now, I have an example this morning of mastering the inner game. It comes from a story that was a movie about the game of life, but it is told from an allegory about the game of golf. Now, I thought about using Happy Gilmore or Caddyshack, but they just didn't seem to fit this message in the game of life. The movie Tin Cup, if you've seen that one, would have worked, but there aren't the spiritual overtones in that one. So I chose a movie. It's a parable. Same way that Jesus would tell parables to his disciples and the people around him. It is called The Legend of Bagger Vance, and it stars Will Smith and Matt Damon. And the movie featured Will Smith as either an angel, or I really think that he's just an appearance of God in this movie. Will Smith is Matt Damon's caddy and advisor on the game of golf, but it's really about the game of life. And Bagger Vance teaches Juna, who is Matt Damon, about the game of life. The game of golf is the vehicle for the teaching on the game of life in this movie. And Bagger helps Juna come to terms with his own personal demons, which have to do with a time of brutality when he was in the World War I. It also has to do with a broken relationship with a girl in his life, and also whether or not to listen to the voice of God in terms of the game of his own life. When Bagger shows up, he's doing a run-through of the golf field, which is allegory for the world, and the field in which we live and work. And what he's doing is he's teaching the person who is actually telling the story, who is a young boy at the time, and how things work when it comes to the inner man and the essence and soul of each person.
If inside each and every one of us is one true, authentic swing, something we was born with, something that's ours and ours alone, something can't be taught to you or learned, something that got to be remembered. And over time, the world can rob us of that swing and get buried inside us under all our wouldas and couldas and shouldas. Some folk even forget what their swing was like. Some folk even forget what their swing was like. You keep swinging.
But I don't have any balls.
And don't worry about hitting the ball or where it's going to go. Just swing the club. Feel the club. And close your eyes.
Close my...
And you can't make that ball go in that hole. You have to let it. I want you to feel the club. Rolling off your club. Feel the weight of the club. Sailing on the perfect line. Dropping out of the night. Soft as butter. Listen to the sounds of the night. Just keep swinging that club till you gotta breathe
inside me.
Just
seeing every one of us is one rustling through the trees,
authentic swing.
Just keep swinging that club till authentic swing.
Ain't part of the whole thing.
Something we was born with.
Take a deep breath.
That's a good thing.
Listen to the sounds of the night.
I don't feel a thing.
Just keep swinging that club till you're part of the whole thing. That's a good thing. Can you see it?
Now, once again, in this movie, Bagger is either a theophany, and that's a fancy word for an appearance of God, or he's an angel. I tend to think that he's more an appearance of God. As the golf tournament gets going, we begin to see God, who is Juna's caddy, begin to bring this young man to understand that life is a game, and we have to play it. We all need to know that truth, that we have to play it.
This is becoming embarrassing.
Oh, no, sir. It's been embarrassing for quite some time now. Let me make a suggestion to you.
What now?
Why don't you just hook it out of bounds? Yeah, just carve it out over them pretty trees into the ocean. But really, just do what you've been doing. Then, you'd be so far out to match. Me and you could just relax, enjoy ourselves, rest of the way.
Yeah.
What you waiting for? Go on. Just hook it to hell and go on. Put yourself out your misery. You want to quit, Mr. Jenner? You know, you can just go ahead and creep off somewhere. I tell folk you took sick. Truth be told, ain't nobody gonna really object. In fact, they'd probably be happy as bugs in a bake shop see you pack up going home.
You know I can't quit.
I know. Just making sure you know it too.
You know, I may not be God up here or even an angel, but you need to know. This is your game. And how you go about playing it is important. It's your game. Now, you can just hook it to hell and gone and sit back and enjoy yourself. And some people do that. You can just can all your responsibilities and any excellence in how you live your life. You can just can anything that has to do with the eternal nature of your soul. I'm just up here to make sure you understand the terms of the game. Well, the game goes on in this movie, and after the first round, there's a moment in the locker room where Jonah gets a story told to him. It's a parable, if you will, kind of like Jesus would tell parables, but it comes from God or this angel about life and expectations. And the time in this locker room could be seen as a kind of like a retreat from the business of life. It was a time of reflection, and the angel gives a lesson.
I had me a uncle named Rufus. Lost his right arm in a cotton gin. Learned how to do everything with his left arm. At his shell, he was changing his wheel on a wagon. Axel snapped, chopped off his left arm, so he learned how to do everything with his teeth.
It was a mistake.
One night he said some things to Mr. Johnny he shouldn't have said. Mr. Johnny, knock all the teeth out of his head.
Savannah's own.
So he learned how to do everything with his feet. Up until he got this fungus. It grew all up the
Stop it.
I'm trying to tell you a story about overcoming adversity.
Listen, you won't talk to me about my grip? Fine. Talk to me about my swing? Fine.
You don't want
to
hear about the fungus? He became a dancer. Oh, he made a fortune. It was the most amazing thing to see this armless, toothless man sliding back and forth across the stage to the music of Bessie Smith and the Duke.
I don't care if I'm 12 strokes back. I just don't.
You don't even want to win?
It's just a game, Bagger.
Ah, yes, sir. You done said it yourself now. That's a game. So maybe, just maybe, there's something else that's riling you. Maybe you thought you was just going to sashay out onto that green and the old hero of Savannah just reappeared all by itself. Don't work that way is all. The Jonah you was, you ain't never going to be again. Ever. That's all I'm saying.
You don't know a damn thing about me.
Well, I know one thing for sure. You're going to look pretty foolish tromping out there with two different shoes on your feet.
Oh, Jesus. You got an answer for everything, don't you, Backer?
Let me tell you something. There's no difference between winning and losing and anything in between. What's lost is lost. A man lives, a man dies. And in the end, it all turns out the same. You're alone. And that's all you're ever going to be.
That a fact. Alone. So a soul is born with everything that the Lord can give it, and things don't go its way, so it just gives up, and the good Lord just takes everything back?
That's right.
And then the soul dies alone. Well, that's pretty much what you say?
That's right.
That's a sad story, Mr. Jenner.
Yes, it is.
And that's about the dumbest thing I heard any fool say ever. You got yourself a hard eye there, Mr. Jenner. Soul is born with everything. Don't go dies and the good Lord. You a funny man, Mr. Jenner.
The lesson is eternal in nature. It's about the inner game, the eternal game. It's about how we live our lives. Not how we live our lives to such, but why we live our lives. So how do you live your life? How do you play your game? Juna's way or Bagger's way? Well, the game goes on for a while, and Bagger's walking with Juna, and Juna listens to Bagger and does well in the game, but after a while, he gets lost again. He ends up slicing a ball into the woods, and if you know anything about stories or anything, woods always represent being lost. And Juna is really lost in his game of life. But God has been walking with him, even though he thinks he's just a caddy. God has been walking with him, giving advice so that Juna can do well. But suddenly he's confronted with his own lostness in life. And the inner game is the only way to salvage his game or his life, so God intervenes.
You gonna be wanting a different club there, Juna?
I can't do this.
Hey, you might should just loose your grip up a smidge. You know, a man's grip on his club, just like
it's
a man's grip.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I know.
No, you don't.
What I'm talking about is a game. A game that can't be won. Only played.
You don't understand.
I don't need to understand. Ain't a soul on this entire earth ain't got a burden to carry. He don't understand. You ain't alone in that. But you've been carrying this one long enough. Time to go on, lay it down.
I don't know how.
You got a choice. You can stop, or you can start.
Start.
Walking.
Where?
Right back to where you always been, and then stand there. Still. Real still. And remember.
It's too long ago.
Oh, no, sir. It was just a moment ago. Time for you to come on out the shadows, Juna. Time for you to choose.
I can't.
Yes, you can. But you ain't alone. I'm right here with you. I've been here all along. I played a game. Your game. The one that only you was meant to play. One that was given to you when you come into this world. You ready? Come on, take your stance. Strike that ball, Juna. Don't hold nothing back. Give it everything. Now's the time. Let yourself remember. Remember your swing. That's right, Juna. Settle yourself. Let's go. Now is the time, Juna.
Mm-hmm.
course, it's just a movie. Or is it? It's just a parable. Or is it? It's just about the game of golf. Or is it? And Bagger Vance is just a caddy. Or is he God? And I'm just a preacher. Or am I? See, the lesson to be learned is that the inner game is where identity and purpose come from, where forgiveness and a sense of place is given, where our suffering is given a triumph, and where we triumph in this game of life. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he said that playing the game is between the ears. Read with me Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. When he wrote his second letter to the church at Corinth, he was rotting in prison when he wrote that letter, and his enemies were gloating, and the outer game wasn't going very well for the Apostle Paul. And at that time, he wrote about a vessel of clay that we are with eternal treasure inside. Read with me the 2 Corinthians passage. Here we go. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. But the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And Paul let us know the truth, very pure and simple. He said, the outer you that everybody sees is what gets dressed up and what gets applauded and whistled at or ignored, and that's visible. The inner you is invisible. The outer you can be measured and weighed and analyzed, but the inner you is a mystery that is unfathomable. The outer you is temporary. The inner you is eternal. And Paul tells us that outwardly we are wasting away, that sooner or later in this game of life, time is stalking us and the end awaits us. Now, if you doubt this, go home and look in the mirror. And all I have to do is get out my albums of great banquet pictures of all the times that I've been doing it for the last 35 years, and I can watch myself age. After the age of about 25, things begin to happen. Bones begin to lose calcium. Skin begins to lose elasticity. Age spots appear. You look at your hands and one day you realize you're looking at your parents' hands. Brain cells are dying. Now, if you sit quietly enough, sometimes you can even hear them dying. Weight shifts to the equator. Hair stops growing where you want it to and begins to grow in weird places. I know there are some of you who are younger than 25 over here. I can see you right there. And maybe still in high school and you're thinking, well, this will never happen to me. Everyone in your life who is over 30 years of age wants you to know that they understand and they love you. But it will happen. And frankly, some of them may be glad when you do grow up and begin to grow old. You know, we can fight this aging process experience all we want. You can put time and money into fighting it. You can exercise it and starve it and Botox it and Rogaine it and dye it and stretch it and lift it and nip it and tuck it and tan it and dress it up. And all adds up to expensive worm food. So who are we really? Who are you, really? We can be tempted to place all our focus on the outer person and the outer game, for that matter, but sooner or later, it passes. But you, the real you, the inner you, is eternal. You are a spiritual being having a physical experience. Your inner you is what matters to God. I've been doing a study on Wednesday nights in 1 Samuel about Saul and David. But when Samuel was told by God to go and anoint the person he had chosen to be the next king of Israel, Samuel was looking at the outward appearance, and God corrected him. Read with me 1 Samuel 16, verses 6 to 8. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." It is the inner you that is eternally significant. Outwardly, we may not look like much. But if we're walking with the Lord, the inner you is growing. I may be dying on the outside, but there's part of me that's coming to life on the inside all the time. There's a strange gift about aging, and I know it a little bit. God sends us daily reminders that the game will end. The hardest thing to bear as we get older is the fact that we remain young inside. Go talk to somebody that's between the ages of 75 and 95. I guarantee you, there's a kid inside there. The body may be old, but the person inside is young. And that is strange. But what it affirms to us is our eternal nature. It's the inner game that helps us with the outer game, the physical game. You have a soul. Actually, that's a misnomer. You are a soul. If you want to know how well you're doing in the game of life, you'll have to give some time to reflection every so often. Part of the reason is we get bombarded all the time with messages about the outer you. It comes at us all the time from the television, cell phones. It just comes at us all the time. It's the outer you. The outer game is with us all the time. In this movie, Bagger Vance, the crowds were everywhere in those games. It was only in the quiet moments that the true message about the game of life was heard. In the locker room, in the woods. Be grateful for the outer you. Come to peace with your body. Rejoice with its strengths. Accept its limitations. Be grateful for it. Let it work. Be happy when it gets promoted. Wash it once in a while. Don't have somebody have to tell you that. But remember, it is wasting away. The inner you, on the other hand, is what is eternal. Read with me 1 John 3:2. Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Winston Churchill lived into his 90s. He is reputed to having said at one point, "The only exercise I ever got was serving as a pallbearer to my friends who died while they were exercising." My best advice, if I were your caddy in the game of life that you are on, would be this. Invest in the inner you, because that's what lasts. Spend as much time caring for the inner you as you spend for the outer you. You know, that's why we offer things like this men's retreat that's next weekend, guys, or the women's retreat in 2 weeks. It's why we offer Bible study. It's why we offer the great banquet and the awakenings. It's what we come here for in terms of the worship of our church. the inner you. You might say that these things are like spending time in that locker room that we had that clip of in the country club there. Before you re-enter that game of life in your field of endeavor. I'm going to let the parable of Bagger Vance give you one final word.
It doesn't matter. As Bagger once said, it's a game that can't be won, only played. So I play. I play on. I play for the moments yet to come. Looking for my place in the field.
So take time to master the inner game in this game of life. Let's pray. Lord, help us all to listen to you as we go through this outer game that we live each day. In Jesus' name, amen.